Testament. This morning we're going to conclude a series we've been on now for 4 weeks entitled Escaping Your Haunted Past. And I think all of us, if we're honest here this morning, we have something in our past that we're not proud of. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and tell what it is, but we all have something along the way. This could get interesting this morning. My key verse this morning is, confess your faults one to another. Now go ahead, it's your turn. We're going to get through this. I'll go last. But hey, we all have those things. And what we've looked at over the last few weeks, the first week we talked about breaking labels that bind. We discussed how that maybe it's something you did that, you know, you've been labeled by that and it's difficult to move forward. Others, it may just been something that someone said about you that you bought into it and you've allowed yourself to be limited by that label. And we discussed how, you know, Christ wants to set us free. He wants to give us a new name. He wants to give us a new purpose and a new future. And I hope you've experienced that in your life, because that's exactly what Christ wants to do for you. Also, we discussed in this about forgiving those that have hurt us. Every single one of us here this morning have been through something where, you know, someone did something, they said something, they acted in a way that was hurtful to us, and we've had to learn to forgive, and we emphasize that. And forgiveness is so important. As we mentioned, forgiveness is more about me than it is about the person I'm forgiving. Because when I choose not to forgive, I allow bitterness to grow inside. And the scripture talks about being careful, because if you harbor bitterness, in the end, it springs up and it troubles many, not just yourself. It impacts everyone around you. Last week, we talked about setting things right with those you've hurt, apologizing, and all that fun stuff that none of us like to do. And we got into that. Because, you know, as we conclude this series on escaping your haunted past, all of these are important. We've got to learn to allow Him to give us a new name. We've got to learn to forgive. We've got to be willing to set things right with those that we've hurt if we're ever going to enter into the future that God has for us. Because if we're not careful, our past enslaves us. It imprisons us, and it holds us back from what God intends for us. And what I want for you today, and every single one of us in this auditorium, anyone who can hear me this morning, is to experience the future that God has for you, breaking free from the past that would bind you and enter into everything that God has for you. So today, as we conclude this, what I want to open or get into here this morning is how that we can get past our own personal failures. Maybe God has forgiven us, but we have a real hard time of forgiving ourselves. And I was thinking, as I was preparing for this, about an embarrassing moment in my life. I know you have some of those stories, but I'm going to set the stage for you. It was about 2009, I think it was, 2010. We're at this youth conference in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, there's about, I would say, at least 3,000 people there. And the school, the college I went to, the choir was singing. Now, I wasn't singing, thank God, and y'all can all say amen to that. But I was the drummer for the choir, and I was for 3 years. And, you know, drumming is something I've done since I was 4 or 5 years old. It's kind of second nature. Whether it's in a small church, you have to play quiet, or you're in a big stage, you can play however, you know, hard you want. And so I was excited about it. This is a great, great opportunity for us. And I get up there, and they give you these headphones you put on. So, you know, all the sound is put through those headphones, and of course, got the sticks, getting ready to play, and we get going, and we practiced before, and everything went fine, but we get going, and all of a sudden, my headphone somehow got tangled. You ever get your headphone wires all tangled up? And one of my sticks got caught up in one of the cables, and before long, what happens is one of my sticks is flying through the air, and in the process, I pulled the headphones off my head. The thing is, I'm in a cage, so I can't hear what's going on outside that cage. Try to play the drums just by watching someone else play the piano. And that's what was going on. So I finally got my stick back. I never could get my headphones back on. And I actually got through the thing, and I wanted to go climb in a hole somewhere and die, you know. Here I was in front of all these teenagers and, a lot of the churches I'd preached at, and they knew me, and here I was embarrassing myself in front of everybody. And still, I have nightmares about that. That was an embarrassing moment for me. Now, that's not like an eternal thing, but it's an embarrassing thing. How many of you have some of those embarrassing moments? I could share with you some stories. I was at it was kind of a three-week deal I went to, and it's an intensive time of Bible study and prayer, and School of Christ is what they called it. And we were on a Sunday morning about to start Sunday school in the main auditorium. This is a bigger church. I think it seated about 800, and the pastor's wife was walking in front of us, and about that time, she stepped on her skirt, and it went down. The good news is, no one would have known it because we were looking down at our what we were about to study, but she screamed bloody murder and took off running out of the sanctuary. Now, those are embarrassing moments. You probably have a story, something you can share. As a pastor, there's certain things I just dread. You know, I'm afraid it's going to happen to me. And, you know, given the amount of time I plan on doing this, I'm sure something embarrassing is going to happen again soon. We all have those times, but there's also other things, if we'll be honest, they're more than embarrassing, they're hard to get over. They're more than just something I'd done that was stupid and everyone laughed at me. They're life-altering. They're life-changing. They can impact our future in a drastic way. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's something that we said, an action that we've took, or maybe it was, you know, something we decided to do. We look back later and say, man, that was the worst decision I've ever made. And we have to try to move past it. But a lot of times it's hard. It's hard. You know, like those embarrassing moments. Every time you see those people, they remind you of those embarrassing moments. But even, you know, in sin and maybe bad decisions, people may not come up to us and remind us about them, but we remind ourselves. You know, the enemy of our soul brings them and he speaks them into our ears and it tries to keep us from moving forward because of our past. It could be maybe an action of immorality in your past that, you know, at the time you just went with what you thought felt good and now you look back and you regret what you did and you're carrying baggage with you still today. There's guilt and, you know, it might be affecting your marriage now or relationships that you're trying to develop now because of what you did in your past. Maybe it's a reoccurring sin. Maybe it's something that, you know, you bring to God, you repent, and, you know, you seem to be free from it, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, you fall back in it again, and that guilt comes, and you try to get it right, but it's just a constant battle, and the enemy tells you, you're never going to get over this. It's always going to be this way, and you're in a continuous cycle. You're being held back by what you've gone through, maybe the actions that you've taken, the things that you've done. Maybe you said something to someone that you loved and you didn't really mean it, but you were angry and it's caused, you know, something that continues to this point. And you just can't seem to get over it yourself. Maybe a bad decision financially and, you know, it's still something you regret and maybe it's relational, maybe it's just plain sinful. Whatever the case is, you can't forgive yourself. Maybe everyone else has forgiven you. God's forgiven you. If it's in the marriage, your spouse has forgiven you. Maybe, you know, it's your kids, they've forgiven you, but you just can't seem to forgive yourself. You feel guilt every single day of your life. You think, hey, I'll get past this. You do something to try to numb the pain. But as soon as that wears off, that guilt is still staring you in the face. But there's a verse I want you to look at me with. It's Psalms 38 and verse 4. So many people feel a lot like David did when he wrote this. Maybe there's someone here today. Maybe there's more than one. You know exactly what David is talking about. This is what he said. He said, my guilt has overwhelmed me. It overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. In other words, the guilt of my past, it has overwhelmed me. You know what he did with Bathsheba, one of the things that he regretted and he paid for the rest of his life. Something that was heavy. He said, my sin, my guilt, it overwhelms me. And it's a burden that's too heavy for me to bear. There are many people just to talking to, whether it was a friend from the past or even a ministry, and whether it was a youth pastor before I came here or even in my time now, talking to people, they'll begin to share with me. And recently I was talking to a friend of mine from college, and his goal was to be in the ministry. But he made some decisions and some things didn't go the way he wanted to, and now, he's far from it, and even though he wants to get to it, there are so many things blocking him from it. And he'll just tell me, he said, man, I wish that I can, but this happened and this is going on. I don't ever see how I can get past this. I don't see how I can ever do anything for God. Maybe there's others I'll talk to and say, hey, I want to do something for God, but this is what's going on in my marriage. Or, there's something I did and I don't see how it's ever going to happen. And so they begin to share with me, I want a great marriage, but I don't see how it's possible. I want to mentor others, but I don't feel worthy. I want to make a difference, but after what I've done, I don't see how it's going to happen. My question is what's going on in these lives? It's that their past is keeping them from entering into the future they have, that God has for them. What's happening, their past continues to follow them, and it keeps them from entering into what God designed. But here's something I want you to get. This is the phrase I want you to take with you as you leave today. And we're going to break this down. We're going to get into what God has to say. But I don't know what you have in your past that is holding you back. But remember this. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. I want you to understand something today. The devil tells you because of your past, you can't go forward. That's a bunch of hogwash. Why do you think Jesus died on the cross? For a bunch of perfect people who never made a mistake? No, he died for a sinner such as I. Every saint that you see doing great things for God, every marriage that's strong, everything that you look at and say, I want God to do that in my life, and you say, yeah, I don't ever see how it's possible. Remember, every saint has a past, but also remember, every saint, every sinner who calls upon Jesus Christ has a glorious future. And what the enemy of our soul wants us to do is to buy in to the fact that our past defines us instead of recognize that the cross can change all of that. So I want us to get into that here today. We're going to look at several different things, but what I want to get to and open up for you today is how that you can move past your failure. I'm going to give you three things to remember that can help you in this process. Because I believe there's someone here today that God's wanting to help you take a step that you haven't been able to take for years, so you can enter into what God has for you. The first thing I want you to remember, if you're going to move past your failure, you've got to realize that your biggest sins are not too big for God's grace. Your biggest sins are not too big for God's grace. Now, I've been a follower of Christ for 25 years. I accepted him as my Savior as a four-year-old. And so it's 26 years now. I'm getting older. I'm not older yet. I'm just old. I don't know how that worked. TJ was telling us earlier. But, one thing that I've been acutely aware of that becomes more evident to me as I go through this is that there are many people that they are just, their whole life is consumed with guilt. Everything, you look at their addictions and you say, I don't know why they keep doing that. Usually it's because there's a guilt. There's something they're trying to deal with. They're trying to suppress those feelings. They're trying not to think about what happened to them or what they did or what someone else did to them. Their life is consumed with these feelings, overwhelming feelings of guilt. There's no way that I can move forward because of my past. And you can look at it and you can see it that, guilt is something that's so strong. But you got to realize guilt is an enemy. It's a work of the enemy. And I'm going to explain that to you. Guilt kills spiritual growth. Guilt stops what God wants to do. Guilt holds us back from the future that God has for us. Now, I'm not saying that you should never feel wrong or bad about what you've done in your past. But let me tell you the difference. Guilt comes from Satan. Conviction comes from God. Guilt comes to destroy you. Conviction comes to restore you. The enemy brings guilt against you so you'll never move into the future God has for you. But conviction that comes from God, God brings it to set you back on a path so you can enter into the future that he has planned out for you. What the enemy of your soul wants to do is to get you to spend every day of your life thinking about what you've done, being so brought down by your past that you can't move forward. He wants to weigh you down with guilt and destroy your life, destroy your marriage, destroy your relationship with your children, destroy every future decision you make before you ever even make it. He wants that guilt to weigh you down. But what God does, on the other hand, yes, he brings up our sin, but not to condemn us. He does it so he can free us. His Spirit comes along and it begins to convict us and say, hey, that's something you need to deal with. Not so you give up, but so you give it to him and allow him to begin to do a work in your life. And there's a verse in 1 John 1:9 I want to share with you. This is what the scripture tells us. It says, if you confess your sins, he, or God, is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. In other words, you know, you ask him, he's going to do it. He's going to work it. He's going to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Guilt comes to destroy. Conviction comes to bring repentance. And this is something that's not preached today. A lot of the church world today decides, you know, if you start doing better, everything's going to be all right. Well, that's not what the Word of God teaches. It teaches repentance. You say, brother, that's hard. Well, actually, you're never going to get a pure conscience until you repent before God. Repentance is actually a work of grace. When we repent and give it to God, God begins to do something in us. And that's when forgiveness takes place. That's when he begins to come and make us new. In other words, instead of wallowing in that guilt, we learn to allow him to come and to forgive us. And we embrace it. We don't only realize what he's done, but we allow that grace to be lived out in our life every single day. Yes, I have a past, but thanks be to God, I also have a future. Because of what Jesus did for me, there's something great that God has in store. Now this morning, I brought a prop with me. I left it in my office, so I'll just explain it to you. Any of y'all have an Edge-A-Sketch when you were a kid? Now the kids now, they might have more sophisticated tablets, or Adriana has a doodle pad. You know, it's the same concept. You have this little pen, you color on it, and then you just take this thing and it erases everything. Now, I remember as a kid, I had an encounter with an Edge-A-Sketch I'll never forget. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and we were taking naps, or trying to. I was actually taking a nap on the couch, and, you know, my sister got a hold of the Edge-A-Sketch. Now, she was drawing stuff, and you know how it is. You can do all kinds of stuff if you took your time and learned how to do it. Difficult. But I was asleep on the couch, and all of a sudden, she was shaking that thing up, and she hit me right on the head. Now, the reason I remember it is I had to go get stitches. I mean, it was bad enough. It opened me wide up. The Edge-A-Sketch impacted my life forever. But the deal with an Edge-A-Sketch is you could erase whatever you did. If it turned out great, you know, you tried to save it, maybe take a picture of it. But if it didn't work out, what did you do? You just shook it up. And it erased it, and you started all over again. Well, I want you to understand something, that you may have a past, but Christ wants to remove it and erase it. Now, I know you still have to deal with some of the consequences of the mistakes you made, but with God, he gives you a clean slate. This is what the Word of God actually tells us. I'm going to read a scripture to you here from Jeremiah 31 and 34. He said, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." You know who brings up your past? The devil. God has made a way for you to escape your past, to escape those things that held you back. Christ said, "I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to remember their past no more." I'm sure you've heard the song that talks about he's going to take our sins and cast them far away as the east is from the west. It was one of my brother's favorite songs. It was entitled, "What Sin?" I don't know if you remember that. But, you know, it's a powerful thing that God does. He takes things that hold us back, and he removes them from his memory. A God who knows all things, remembers all things, makes a choice to forget your sin because of the work that Christ did upon the cross. Know today that he wants to forgive you. God has forgiven you, not only for the sins you know, but of the sins you don't even realize that you've done. I remember listening to a speaker at a a conference. I don't even remember which one, what conference it was. I've been to so many. And he was dealing with the subject of abortion. You know, as a church, we do take a stand against that, and we should, to protect the child. But also, there's the one who made the... She began to share with him her past. She began to share with him the abortions that she had had, and she said, "I don't know if God can forgive me for this. So I'm having a hard time. I don't see this is something I just feel so bad about that I killed my own child or had it killed." And he began to share with her something. He said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, "I began to tell her. He said, you may not know it, but that's not even the worst sin you've committed." And he went on to explain. He said, "Not only did you abort your child, but you killed the Son of God." And he began to go on and explain to everyone in that room that every single one of us, if we're not careful, we'll look at others, what they've done, and say, "Man, they're a lot worse than me." But every single one of us are guilty of the Son of God having to die. It was your sin. It was my sin that hung Jesus Christ on the tree. So I'm here to tell you here today, no matter how bad the sin is you think you've committed, you're actually guilty of one much greater. You killed the Son of God. We know that he gave his life freely, but it was because of my sin that he had to die. And so what I want you to get today is that if God is willing to forgive you for taking his Son's life, don't you think he can forgive you of that thing you can't seem to get over? Don't you think that God can set you free from the chains of your past and give you a clear conscience so that you can move into the future that he has for you? There is no sin that you committed here today that God's grace cannot forgive you of. Secondly, you need to remember this, if you're going to get past your failures, is that you're not what you have done. You are who God says you are. See, what the enemy of our soul likes to do is he likes to personalize our failures. You are a failure. You are a murderer. You are, and it might be true because we're sinners. We've done those things. We've committed those things. We've taken those wrong actions. You are an adulterer. All those things. And maybe they're true because of the sins that we have committed. But what happens is the enemy wants us to buy into the fact of this is who I am and nothing can change it. In other words, God made me this way. You hear that for every sin today, that's just the way I am. I can't help it. What the enemy does is he wants you to personalize your sin and make it who you are, to buy into it and get this mindset that this is just who I am and there's no getting around it. I'll always be a liar. I'll always do that. I'll always act that way. It's just something I want to do. It's part of my human makeup. And there's no way I can move past it. Now, I know we're sinners and we come short of the glory of God, but we get back to that other point I made a minute ago. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But also the Word of God tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things or old things have passed away and all things become new. In other words, once I give it to Christ, my past does not define me. He defines me. My past sin does not define me, but the cross of Jesus Christ defines me. Because of the cross, Christ has the right and the authority to give me a new name and to give me a new future. My sin, yes, it marked me, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. And now I am not who my past says I am. I'm who God says I am. And when I look at these scriptures and it begins to talk about it, when we come to Christ, any man in Christ, he's a new creation. I begin to realize that when Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't just to forgive me of my sins, but it was to give me a new future. It wasn't just to let me go to heaven, but it was to change me right now into something greater than what I could ever be in myself. Yes, my past may be rotten, but my future is bright and glorious because of Jesus Christ who gave himself for me. I'm not my own because I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own, and therefore my past, He has bought it, He's purchased it, He's erased it, and He has given me a new future. The enemy of your soul wants you to buy into your failure and make it who you are. But know this, if you're in Christ, failure is just an event, it's not a person. Just because you failed at something doesn't mean you're a failure. Just because you made that mistake doesn't mean you can't get up. Christ wants you to know today that you are His child. If you give it to Him, if you repent, if you confess, He is faithful and just, and you are forgiven. You are His. You are new. You are an overcomer. You're not what you have done. You are who He says you are. Thirdly, what I want you to remember so you can move past your failure is that you can't change your past, but Christ can change your future. Here a few days ago, we went to eat somewhere, and I don't remember where, but Anthony has this little bitty frog. I mean, it's those micro toys. He probably shouldn't be playing with it. He's too little. He probably could swallow the thing. But he loves that little frog. It's one of those deals, I don't know exactly where he got it, in a machine or kids' church or whatever. He loves that frog, and he carried around with him everywhere. Well, we get home or get in the car, and he's like, my frog. You know, you got to know Anthony. He's dramatic. And my frog, where's my frog? He starts crying for his frog, and we start looking around the car, wherever we are. We can't find it. Apparently, he lost it at the restaurant, wherever we were. And, of course, you know, I wasn't going to go back and go digging around for a little frog under a table somewhere. It'd be a little undignified. And so, you know, I had to sit down and tell him, Anthony, your frog's gone. Sorry. The past is the past, son. We will try to get you a new frog. You know, that was really hard for him to deal with at first. He wanted that frog. That was his thing. And the thing is, I want you to get here today is, you know, the past is the past. You can't go back. You can't undo what you did. You can't undo what someone else did to you. You cannot change one thing about what happened yesterday. You can't go back and remake that decision. You cannot change your past. It is what it is. You cannot undo it. Maybe it was a marriage that went south and ended in divorce. You can't go back and act like it never happened. But God can heal. And God can make new. You can't go back. Maybe, you know, you were one who aborted your child. And that's hard to deal with. You can't go back and undo that. The past is the past. But the good news is that child is with God. And He has a future for you. And you can be restored once again with that child. You know, the person you hurt, the word you said. They say, you know, words are like feathers, you know, in a pillow. Once you spread them to the wind, there's no gathering them all back together again. You can't go back and change what you said, but God can still do a great thing in your future. You can't change it, but you can take what, you know, God's work in your life and allow it to become evident to those around you. Maybe you were abused. Maybe somebody did something to you they had no right to do. They did something to you that was painful and hurtful. And maybe you hide it from others and you don't want anyone else to know. But even though you didn't do it, you feel guilt because of it. I can't tell you a way to go back and undo what happened to you. But I can tell you about a God who can give you freedom from what you've been through, what others have done to you. I can't go back. If I would, I would undo your pain. I would undo your hurt. There's nothing that you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about your past. But God can give you a future. You can't do anything about what happened yesterday. But thanks be to God. We serve a loving Heavenly Father that can do something about our future. We can't undo our past, but God can change our future. Christ has a plan and a purpose for you. Remember, every saint has a past, but every sinner has a future. When the devil reminds you of your past, what do? Remind him of his future. Yeah, I did that, but let me tell you about where you're about to go, son. But because of Christ, I've got something to look forward to. When that enemy brings it up, this is something in Bible school, I remember our president of the Bible college preaching at one time, and the rest of our time in Bible school, something would come out about the past. You say, we would tell each other, when the devil brings it up, remind him of his future. There's some of you, you need to do that. The devil's been beating you over the head and you've been giving him the upper hand. Somehow he's got you convinced that he has the moral high ground. What a joke. Hey, I might have been a sinner, but I've been saved by grace. I might have a past, but because of Christ, I have a future. And devil, last time I read, you're going to burn in hell forever. So I think you need to keep your mouth closed. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. In other words, not just free, it's not just something said. It's something that is done. The chains are gone. That song that Sarah sung this morning, I've been set free. And it goes on to say, talk about that amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I'm glad to know this morning that he can break my chains and he can lead me into a glorious future. It's time that we move past our failures and enter into the future that God has for us. I want to read another portion of scripture to us. And I want you to take this to heart. This is what Paul said, the apostle, great man of God. He started out persecuting the church. You go read the book of Acts. He held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. He was part of the murder of one of the first deacons of the church. Paul was a man with a past. But God did a glorious work in his life. And here's what he said. He said, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved or arrived at the things or that I have already reached perfection. He said, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brother and sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. I want you to get this morning. He said, I have not achieved it yet, but he said, I focused on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what I want to get to you today is, hey, you might have a past, every saint does, but I also want you to know you have a future. And what you've got to do is what Paul did. He said, you've got to forget that past. You've got to put it aside. Forgetting the past here, it means to treat with thoughtless inattention. In other words, I'm not going to give it a thought. I'm going to by intention, I'm not going to give it attention. By focusing on it, I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to treat it with thoughtless inattention. I'm going to willfully neglect my past. I'm going to leave it behind intentionally. I'm going to banish it from my thoughts. I'm going to disregard it on purpose. I'm going to cease from remembering it. In other words, God has forgot it. I'm going to forget it. I am going to intentionally leave my past behind. It may take some effort, but when it comes up, I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to put it in its place and remind my past that it is gone, it is dead, it is buried with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. What that verse means is my past is dead. When Christ died and I gave it to him, my sin died, my past died. And when he resurrected, I resurrected new. So you're dead to me, past. My sin, my mistakes, they're buried, they're under the blood, they're under that dirt, so to speak. I'm not going to remember them. Forgetting the past and looking forward to the future that God has for me. Proverbs tells us this. He says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. Moses, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was a murderer. Think about it. David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery. Peter, the great evangelist on the day of Pentecost, denied Christ. Zacchaeus, saved by grace, was a thief. The question today is not, do you have a past? The question is, what are you going to do about it? The question is not whether or not you made a mistake. We know the answer. All of us have. Maybe yours is bigger, at least in your mind it is. That's not the question. The question is, what are you going to do with the past? There's two people in Scripture that you can emulate. You can copy. You can either copy Peter or you can copy Judas. What did Peter do? His sin, he denied Christ, he cursed him. They asked him, you know, don't you know this man? He pretty much says, blankety blank blank, I don't even know who he is. He cursed the Son of God 3 times. What did he do next? Scripture says he went out and wept bitterly because of what he'd done. But when Christ resurrected, there was a moment of restoration where Christ asked him 3 times, do you love me, Peter? He said, you know that I love you. What was going on? Christ was giving him that opportunity to be restored, to get past his failures, to escape the thing that would haunt him. And in the end, Jesus said, I want you to go and feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, your past is gone. Forget it. Now focus on what I have for you. What did Judas do? When Judas realized that he was responsible for the death of the Son of God, which all of us are, he went and hung himself. Scripture tells us it'd be better that a millstone was tied around your neck and you thrown into the depths of the sea than to be Judas, speaking of his eternity. We all have past, but because of Christ, we can have a future. The question is, are you going to move past your failures? Or are you going to live in them? I want us to stand together across this auditorium here this morning. There's a lot of things we've covered here, but the reason that we did this series is because I believe that there are many here this morning that you are living in your past, or your past has imprisoned you and is keeping you from the future that God has for you. But this morning, God is wanting to set you free from it. He's wanting you to move past your failures. And we discussed the 3 things to remember here today. First of all, we told you that you got to remember that your biggest sins are not too big for God's grace. Remember, you're not what you have done. You're who God says you are. No, you can't change your past, but God can change your future. The question is this morning, are you ready to do that? I want us to bow our heads.